Cast. We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit and carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Hello, folks. This is Alex Jones introducing you to the incredible Berkey Solar Charger, your source for free solar electricity. This portable system is the size of a book when folded and small enough to fit into a briefcase, handbag, or glove compartment. The Berkey Solar Charger has been designed to power the Berkey Lights LED lamps as well as other applications such as mobile phones, radios, digital cameras, and PDAs when electricity is not available. Its multi-voltage capabilities, multiple adapters, and rechargeable batteries provide for flexible...
You're listening to the Global Star Radio Network, located at Telstar 5 KU band, frequency 11836, symbol rate 20770. Thank you for listening.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you that the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Pastor Billy Crone, who's the Niagara Frontier Bible Church up in upstate New York. He used to be here in California, but God called him back there. And he's got a wonderful church that supports him. He puts all of his sermons onto DVDs. In fact, we watched one last night about God being powerful. But we're doing a series now on creation, or I should say he's doing a series, and we're enjoying listening to him. And this will be the first in a series of talks that you'll be hearing on this network on creation. So without further ado, Pastor Billy Crone. Hi, how are you doing?
Great, Dr. Monteith. Thanks for having me on.
You just go right ahead and get started.
Well, you know, I thought it was kind of interesting, the timing of this particular topic with the interview after following a long, extended discussion on the Final Countdown series dealing with Bible prophecy and the signs of the last days. And the more I got to thinking about it, Dr. Monteith, it made absolute perfect sense to talk about the sovereignty of God, is because with this series, the intelligent creation, i.e. a defense of the biblical account as opposed to the evolutionary mindset, this actually, folks, will help you understand why things are going on today in the world, why people make some totally inane, unethical, egregious comments, and even the behavior that you see today. It's because you have to have an evolutionary mindset to pull off the rise of the Antichrist kingdom. It fits in perfectly. This is the, if you will, belief system that prepares the way for what we discussed on the Final Countdown. And, of course, the enemy, he's been slowly, methodically working out his plan leading up to the last days with the Antichrist kingdom. And, you know, so it wasn't, he eventually got it kick-started, you know, 1850s-ish, with Charles Darwin, and he launched it. And, folks, you got to understand how cunning and deceptive and deceitful he is. And our arch enemy of the souls, Satan, he launched this way back when. But it wasn't just, folks, as you're going to see, just about undermining the God of the Bible and the Judeo-Christian ethic. That is part of it. But ultimately, you've got to have this system of belief in place to have your ultimate cohort on the planet, and that is the Antichrist. And really, evolution and, frankly, New Age, which is the premise that's helping to build the Antichrist system, folks. It started way back in Genesis chapter 3. The Bible says that the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals that the Lord God had made. And he came to the woman after God says, hey, don't eat from, the tree, the particular tree, and of good and evil. And he comes, and the first thing out of his mouth, folks, is doubt. First thing. He says, did God really say? And that's exactly what evolution does for people. They look at it and they go, oh, wait, I mean, these are scientists, quote-unquote, that are saying this stuff. And obviously, it discounts the Bible. It's doubt. It's the same tactic that they used at the fall of man. And he came to the woman and said, did God really say you must not eat of any tree in the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die. And the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. Well, there it is. He started with doubt, and then he called God a liar. And he says, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. And that's, in essence, folks, the premise for New Age and evolution. Evolution says that there is no God. You get to be on your God. You get to decide who is and what is good and evil. And by the way, it specifically says you will be like God. And that's exactly the belief system you need to have in place, folks, if you're going to fast forward to the time of the Antichrist kingdom, who is going to go up into the Jewish temple halfway in the tribulation and declare himself to be God. And evolution is the mindset that's preparing people's hearts for that.
Well, I think you're absolutely right, and I think it's so vitally important that people understand the background to everything going on today. Hold that thought for a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. My guest is Pastor Billy Crone. We're starting on a series on creation. And, of course, one of the things that has been done so cleverly in our society, first thing they did, the Masons took control of the United States Supreme Court. And from 1941 to 1971, why they controlled the United States Supreme Court, they took God and prayer out of our schools. And once they'd taken prayer out of our schools and God, and then eventually later on, of course, the Ten Commandments, the Masons didn't control it then, but the forces of darkness did. Why then, of course, they could take out any mention that God had created the heaven and the earth and substitute evolution, and this became taught not as a theory, but as a fact. And, of course, once you can get people to begin to question, well, see, if evolution is a fact, then the Bible can't be true. And what they have done is planted doubt in the minds of people, and that doubt begins to grow and increase. And then, of course, they get all of this information, you know, and the scientists, these terribly smart people who know everything and teach us in our universities, they all know that evolution is true, and obviously the Bible isn't true. And now people begin to doubt the validity of the scriptures. And with that as the background, Pastor Crone, you pick that story up.
Well, let me give your listeners, Dr. Monteith, a little teaser of hopefully, Lord willing, where we'll eventually go. And you need to understand at the outset, folks, that evolution, this is one of the biggest lies that's come down the pike. And it's being thrust upon us. And people, frankly, just believe it. Why? Because, again, as you just mentioned, Dr. Monteith, you know, scientists are saying this. And surely you can't say that there's a complete conspiracy. You're just a wacko. You know, again, it sounds like when you're trying to deal with revealing Bible prophecy to people. That's how they've been conditioned to respond. Exact same thing, folks, when it comes to evolution. And what you need to understand, folks, is they know it's not true, okay? And that's what we deal with this study, Dr. Monteith. We deal with scientific facts, okay? Listen, because most people are like, I used to be a big, huge skeptic, okay? I understand the heart of a skeptic, folks. I used to be one. Praise God. God had mercy on me. But I was the real hypocrite because I didn't check out the facts, okay? And most people just accept this evolutionary mindset because, frankly, that's the only alternative. They won't allow another alternative. Hopefully we'll get to that in a second. Okay, but it is not based on science, and so we deal with scientific data in this series. Hey, you make up your own mind. People look at Christianity and say, hey, you're a bunch of goobers. This is what I used to say. You guys are so stupid. You got to have some book tell you what to do. I'm much more smart than that. And they thought, you know, and I thought that, man, to become a Christian, the first thing you got to do is check in your brain at the door. Well, folks, again, please bring your brain in when you get this study because you're going to need it. The Bible says, come, let us reason together. You're going to
Hold that thought. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course our guest is Pastor Billy Crone, and we're talking about creation and the fact that everything you have learned in school and in your universities about evolution, well, just about everything isn't true. I remember going to school. I was at the University of California, and we learned all about the Piltdown Man. The Piltdown Man was the missing link, and these crazy people didn't understand evolution, and they didn't know about the Piltdown Man. And the Piltdown Man had been proven by science, and for 50 years, every scientist knew the Piltdown Man. Was, of course, the missing link until they found it had the skull of a man, the jaw of an orangutan, and the teeth had been doctored, and the whole thing was a fraud. And then they simply, bothering to question anything else, they just fell over, dusted themselves up, caught up, and began claiming, well, we know there's a missing link someplace. Trust us, because we're the scientists. But any scientist in our major universities who dares to question the fraudulent nature of the evolution theory that is being taught will be fired. They'll make his life so miserable. They want truth, but only their truth out there. And they absolutely will attack and vilify and demonize anybody who tries to say, well, you know, life had to come from someplace, and you know, there's just no way it could have happened by accident. But you pick up the story, Pastor Billy.
Well, that's just it. You know, to kind of jump ahead a little bit, Dr. Monteith, let me back up, and I'm just going to give you a little teaser for your listeners. Folks, you need to understand, I mean, we deal with scientific data on this series. You can check it out. Please bring in your own brain at the door. You're going to need it again. It's when you can look at these scientific facts, folks, and still walk away and say there is no God. Hey, listen, you got to have more faith to maintain an evolutionary mindset than continue it. But you need to understand, folks, they know this is not true. They know it's not true. And we even got them on direct quotes, folks, as the reason why they know it's not true. It's because they don't want there to be a God. Let me just give you a little teaser. There's many more, but I'll just give you a couple to whet your appetite. Arthur Keith, he's the author of 20 books defending evolution. He wrote, quote, evolution is unproved and unprovable. He says, quote, we believe it only because the only alternative is special creation, and that is unthinkable. One of the Huxley says, I suppose the reason why we all jumped to the origin, Darwin's origin of species, was because the idea of God interfered with our sexual mores. Bertrand Russell, he's an evolution philosopher, said that the idea of getting rid of God, quote, freed me up to my erotic desires. Folks, they know this isn't true. The reason why they maintain this and are drilling this down their throat has nothing to do with the facts. It has everything to do with the flesh. They don't want there to be a God. Why? Because evolution, folks, the whole premise started back in Genesis chapter 3. You believe in this? Hey, you can be your own God. You could decide what's good and evil and follow your evil desires. And as you mentioned, there really is a conspiracy going on. Dr. Monteith, you know, many people say, oh, come on. This is America. These are scientists. They're interested in the facts. There's no way they would have a big, giant cover-up and actually penalize or fire or isolate people who are just trying to discuss the scientific data. Yes, they are. Folks, movie that had recently come out, or I guess you could say documentary, Ben Stein, No Intelligence Allowed. If you haven't seen that, you need to, because he exposes the complete hypocrisy that's going on. They will not tolerate anything else than this evolutionary mindset. Why? Because they know, folks, that if you repeat a lie loud enough, long enough, and often enough, the people will believe it. And that's exactly what people have done, Dr. Monteith. They have just swallowed this down because they drill it in their heads, the educational system, through the media system, everywhere you go. And then once in a blue moon, you might hear somebody else, whether not just a Christian, but even scientists, and not all these scientists who are coming up with this obvious conclusion that there had to be an intelligent designer are even all Christians, folks. They're looking honestly at the hardcore facts and saying, wait a second, can we discuss this? But that's the problem. They will not give them a table to discuss it. Let me give you some examples of people, folks, who are, frankly, ostracized and, frankly, fired oftentimes if they dare question the theory. Roger DeHart, he's a science teacher at Burlington Edson High School near Seattle, Washington. He was told he could not inform students of errors in the textbooks, the evolutionary errors. And all he was doing was passing out articles from current science journals. See, they were contradicting each other. But he said, no, you can't do that. Which think about that, folks. What are they saying? We want to continue to lie to the kids. You as a teacher cannot tell them the truth. Excuse me? Kevin Haley, he was a biology teacher in Oregon Community College. He lost his job for exposing errors in the textbooks. William Dembski, he was fired from Baylor University because he advocated intelligent design. Forrest Mims, he was a science writer for 20 years. He was published, folks, in National Geographic, Science Digest, the American Journal of Physics, 60 magazines and newspapers. He was denied a job as writer for Scientific American because he became a creationist. Okay, Rod Levesque in Minnesota, he was a Faribault, Minnesota, he was a biology teacher who was reassigned simply because he doubted Darwin's theory. And then there's Dean Kenyon. He was a professor at San Francisco State University. He wrote books, folks, for years on how wonderful evolution was, and it was the greatest thing since sliced bread, if you will. And then finally, one day, he came across the truth. He got saved, and they fired him. And he said, hey, man, you can't fire me. I'm a teacher. You know, this is a union. I got 20 years. And so they put him in like a lab assistant, washing test tubes or something like that. And he had to go through a big old lawsuit just to get his job back. Why? Simply because he doubted Darwin's theory. Now, folks, I don't know about you, but it appears to me somebody is trying to cover the truth up on you and I and continue to get us to gobble down a pack of lies. Now, the interesting thing, Dr. Monteith, is that's exactly what the Bible said the people would do in the last days. The reason why Paul, the Apostle Paul, wrote in Romans chapter 1 what is happening today with this evolutionary mindset and these people who suppress the truth. He predicted it, folks, nearly 2,000 years ago. Okay, he said the wrath of God, Romans chapter 1, is being revealed from heaven against all godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness, since what may be known about God is plain to them because God's made it plain to them. How? Well, he says, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature has clearly been seen, being understood from what has been made, the creation, folks. And he says, and so that men are without excuse. Nobody's going to get before God and say, God, I just didn't have, it's not fair. It's not fair, God, for you to punish me because I just didn't have enough proof of your existence. I don't think so, folks. When you look at the facts, okay, you could look at the evidence for design from a tree to a bee to a flea to you and me, and, hey, man, you're going to come to the logical conclusion, man, this couldn't happen by chance. Okay, but see, this is what evolution has done. This is what the enemy has done. And this is what was began back in the Garden of Eden at the fall of man. Evolution has come along and said, no. This all happened over millions and billions of years, slow natural processes, which is ridiculous. Now, let me give you an example, folks, of how ridiculous it is. Okay, if I were to tell you, and I was totally dead serious, folks, right now, that on my way to the interview tonight, okay, I just happened to glance over as I pulled into the parking lot to my office here, and I just happened to glance over there in the field, you know, across the parking lot, and there was a watch. And I picked it up. It's perfectly moving. It's got about 12 moving parts, a little digital action going on. I push the button, and a little blue light comes on. It's absolutely cool. But I told you this. You know what? That watch, I am totally convinced, folks, it evolved over there in that field over millions and billions of years due to the natural forces of wind, rain, and erosion, and maybe throwing a couple sticks, a little bit of mud, and bang, a lightning bolt, voila. The watch, there it was. And I picked it up. Man, praise God, I saved some cash. Now, folks, here's the point. Okay, that sounds totally ludicrous, but what if I was deadly serious? I mean, I really honestly believe that. You would say, hey, excuse me, the cheese has done slid off your cracker or something like that, right? And rightly so. Why? Because watches do not design themselves. They don't just pop onto the scene, okay? I don't care how many lightning bolts, I don't care how many millions or billions of years, there's no way. That's illogical to say that a watch is going to pop on the scene by itself, okay? But here's the point, folks. Isn't that what evolution is trying to get you and I to believe? Who's checking whose brain at the door? The human body, folks, we'll get to some details hopefully here in a little bit, but the human body is estimated to have 50 trillion cells. One human body. Okay? And you're not going to say that it's logical for a watch to evolve, if you will, with 12 moving parts, but our bodies with 50 trillion cells did? Folks, whose cheese is sliding off whose cracker there? Okay? And again, Dr. Monteith, this is exactly what the Bible predicted, that what would happen is people are going to suppress the truth about God's existence. That's what we see with creation. Now listen, it also explains, Dr. Monteith, why we are in the shape we're in. Because Paul continues, you tell me if this does not sound like America. He says, for although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but in their thinking they became futile, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, you know, like the scientific community say, folks, oh, they're wise, we've got to listen to everything they say. It says they became fools. Why? Because they exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal man's birds, animals, and reptiles' evolution. Therefore, God gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts. Remember, I read you the quotes. These guys know it's not true. They don't want there to be a God because they want to follow. They don't want God to interrupt their sexual mores. That's a direct quote, folks. And so God gave them over to their sinful desires of their hearts, to their sexual impurity, for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and they worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen. And because of this, God gave them over to shameful lust. Listen, even their women exchanged natural relations for unnatural ones. In the same way, men abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for another. Men committed indecent acts with other men and received in themselves the due penalty for their perversion. Furthermore, since they didn't think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, he gave them over to a depraved mind to do what ought not to be done. They have become, listen folks, this is America, they have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, depravity. They're full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They're gossips, slanders, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They're senseless, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Why? Because you have chosen on purpose not to believe in a God. Most people have swallowed it, Dr. Monteith, but it's not based on facts. It has nothing to do with the facts. They don't want there to be a God. We are being lied to.
And, of course, the thing is that there's nothing new under the sun. What we've just heard is deja vu all over again. It happened in ancient times. It's happening today. Because, of course, there's a conspiracy against God. And when you understand that, everything makes sense. Pastor Belli, you go right ahead.
Well, you know, let's go ahead and start getting to some of that data. And but I wanted to build a premise there so you guys can understand. Once you understand the evolutionary mindset, folks, all of a sudden the light bulbs start going on. Oh, that's why they keep pushing that. That's why they can make those ludicrous, inhumane statements and decisions that we're seeing coming down the pike even recently, because they have an evolutionary mindset. Okay? But let's take a look, folks, at some interesting scientific facts about all of life. And this is what we do, Dr. Monteith. We deal with scientific data. We take a journey, if you will. We go all the way from the telescope, the far reaches of the universe, and we go all the way down to the microscope, down to even the level of bacteria, from one universe, if you will, to the other. And we look at the, because that's what the Bible says, that what may be known about God, God's existence, is plain to us. It should be plain to us. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen by what he made. So let us check in our brains at the door and use them. And, folks, you tell me if somebody had to design this, okay? Let's take a look at it, some of the interesting things, starting at the one end of the spectrum with the universe. Folks, it just so happens the universe that we have contains a force that's called the nuclear force, okay? And this keeps the protons in the nucleus of the atom together, okay? The problem is this, folks. Everything we see, just like a watch, is completely structured time. You tweak anything, and the whole thing will not only just fly apart, it cannot exist. There is no chance, if you will, for life, okay? And with this nuclear force, folks, if there's a very slight increase in the strength of this, the universe would consist mainly of heavy metals, which will keep life from existing anywhere. But if there were a very slight decrease in the nuclear force, then the only element in the universe would be hydrogen. You get the same results. There's no way you can have life. The electromagnetic coupling constant. This is that force, folks, that causes like charges to repel, opposite charges to attract. Okay, here's the point. If you can't tweak it. If it was just a slightly stronger, it would keep molecules from existing, hence no life. If it were slightly smaller, then the electrons would leave the nucleus. Again, you cannot have life. All the parts of the watch, i.e. universe, have to be exactly how they are, or it does not work. How about the expansion rate of the universe? They've estimated, folks, that the universe is expanding away from point of origin, okay, approximately 2 million miles an hour. Physicists, folks, have discovered that if this rate were just a few percent slower, then all the matter in the universe would collapse into a ball. But if it were slightly faster, then the galaxies and stars would never have formed. Either way, you could not have life. It has to be what it is. And speaking of which, even the mass, even the amount of mass that we have in the universe, folks, is fixed within a very narrow range. Astrophysicists, folks, have discovered that just a few percent increase in the amount of matter in the universe would have resulted in the stars being too big and too hot, hence no life. But again, if you tweak it just a little bit of a decrease, then the total mass of the universe, again, the stars would have been too small, no heavy elements, you couldn't have life. The distance between the stars. This is wild. Listen to this, folks. Astrophysicists have discovered that the distance between the stars, okay, is totally critical to life. Okay? If the distance between the stars, they now know, folks, was just a few percent closer than what it is, okay, it would destabilize planetary orbits around the sun, and it would kill all chances of supporting life. But if the distance of the stars was too far, then the planets, if you will, could never have come about on the scene in the first place. You would have no life. It's almost, based on the scientific data, folks, it's almost as if somebody just went pop and put them up there exactly right where they need to be. I wonder who that is. But, folks, that's not all. I mean, you talk about getting it tweaked down to exact data.
Hold that thought for just a minute as we bring all of our stations back on board here in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Chris, I guess, is Pastor Crone, just talking about the amazing balance even of an atom and a molecule and the balance within there between the protons, the neutrons, the electrons. I mean, how can there be this perfect balance so that these things don't fly apart or simply contract upon themselves? But there is a pattern here. There's a master pattern. You see this in astronomy when you see the stars and certainly how they have the planets going around them and the Earth's relationship to the sun and certainly the Earth's relationship to the moon. And certainly if we were further away from the sun, why would it be too cold? We couldn't support life. If we were closer to the sun, why, of course, would it be too hot? We couldn't support life. Everything is in perfect balance in astronomy, in music, in mathematics, in physics, in chemistry. If you ever look at the periodic chart and you see the perfect order in the periodic chart, if you study music and you see the perfect order in music, everything has a perfect order. Did that happen simply by accident, by chance, or is there a master designer? Pastor Billy, pick up the story.
Well, that's just it, Dr. Monteith. Again, for somebody who's not checking their brain at the door, as many times we Christians are accused of, which I used to do the same thing. I used to accuse Christians of that before I checked out the facts myself, so I wouldn't be the hypocrite. You see that nothing in life, universe all the way down to the microscope, nothing is random, okay? That's the whole premise of evolution, is it not? Random processes over millions and millions of years. But the problem is, folks, nothing is random. It all carries a purpose. There's a structure to it, and there's a design to it, which, again, if you see design in something, that implies, logically, just like a watch, there must have been a designer, which, again, exactly what Romans chapter 1 says. Let me give you a couple other details, Dr. Monteith. Just gravity, something we totally take for granted, but listen to this, folks. If gravity, obviously, were any stronger, stars could never have come into existence. If it was any weaker, then the bigger stars could never have formed. It has to be exactly what it is. Now, here's what's interesting. It just so happens that the force of gravity, folks, is the square of the distance between the masses, which, if you're not hooked on math, that sounds kind of weird. But listen, it's basically a 2. Where did that 2 come from? Okay? And why is the equation, the force of gravity, exactly squared to 2? I mean, if everything's random, why is it not 1.87, 1.95, 2.38, 3.378, whatever it is? Why is it precisely key to that 2? Well, folks, nobody knows, okay, from an evolutionary mindset. All they know it is. In fact, they know that if it's any other value than exactly 2, hey, it would lead to an eventual decay of the orbits and the universe would destroy itself. It's almost like everything is keyed exactly like a watch. Now, here's something else, too. Dr. Monteith, they've been mapping out the whole universe and the stars and the galaxies and all that stuff. And, well, they decided to begin to put them on a map. This is wild. And so they began to map out all the galaxies within a billion light years from our world. And then they started creating a map. They divided it into a million squares. Each square was shaded according to the number of galaxies it contained. And suddenly, folks, once they began to put this in the computer in, if you will, map form, there was nothing random about it at all. It showed that the galaxies were in clusters, quote, somewhat like delicate embroidery all carefully stitched together. There's nothing random about that at all. And by looking at the map, folks, they began to see a pattern, not random, a pattern of, if you will, celestial streets and lanes running all through the sky, leading from one galaxy to another. Nothing of this, folks, happens by chance. In fact, throughout the series, Dr. Monteith, we give several quotes from scientists. And to my knowledge, not all these scientists are even Christians, okay? Not that that's bad. Not that that's an oxymoron. It doesn't mean that you cannot be a Christian and a scientist at the same time. That's another lie, okay? But we give quotes from scientists who are using their brain. They're not checking the door. They're dealing with the facts, just like we do on this study, and they're coming to the same conclusion. Not just because the Bible says so, but because the brain says so. It has to be. Charles Townes, folks, he's a Nobel Prize winner for physics. He said this, quote, "The more we know about the cosmos or universe, the more it seems inexplicable without some aspect of intelligent design." Quote, "And for me, that inspires faith." In other words, there has to be some sort of designer for that to happen. But that's not all. As you mentioned, Dr. Monteith, there's evidence from our solar system. I mean, everything, even not just out in the universe with the star and the forces out there, the protons and the mass in the universe and the stars and the ratio and all that stuff going on, but even closer to home in our solar system, it's totally keyed to some sort of a design, whether it be the sun's distance or even the sun's color, the distance of the moon, the size of the moon, Earth's own gravity, Earth's magnetic field, the water on Earth, Earth's atmosphere. It's all exactly key specifically for life. And Dr. Monteith, what you got to understand is you tweak any of these things, just one of those, whether it be nuclear force or the Earth's magnetic field, and it's impossible to have life, and we're just getting started. There's tons of these things which all have to be exactly the way they are, or it's impossible. They know it's impossible for life to exist. They know it was designed, but again, they're suppressing the truth just like the Bible said they would.
Well, we'll be back in just a moment with Pastor Billy Crone, but it takes an awful lot of faith to believe that life just happened. You know, it's much easier to believe that God created the heavens and the earth, but either they do not want you to believe in God. That's why they will not allow creation to be taught in school today. This is Dr. Stan. Our guest, of course, is Pastor Billy Crone, and you pick up the story there.
Well, let me give you a couple more evidence as we continue to go through our journey through the telescope all the way down to the microscope. Let's bring it even closer to home outside the universe and the solar system. Let's go towards the human body. And again, folks, quote after quote after quote that we share, we're dealing not just with scientific data, but we are dealing with scientists who are having to deal with the facts honestly, intellectually, scientifically and philosophically, and they're coming to the same conclusion that the Bible says you're going to come to. There had to be a God. There had to be a designer to all this design we see. Alan Sandage, he's a winner in the Crawford Prize in Astronomy. He said, quote, "I find it quite improbable that order came out of chaos. There has to be some organizing principle." Quote, "God to me is a mystery, but is the explanation for the miracle of existence." Okay? Now, why would he say that? Because, folks, again, when you take a look at the scientific data that's not being suppressed, as in the educational system and in the mass media, folks, you're going to come to the same conclusion. Okay? Let me give you some evidence from the human body, folks. You tell me if this happened by chance. How about our internal organs, folks? Did you know our kidneys contain approximately 280 miles of tubes? They filter 185 quarts of water a day from our blood. Did you know our heart pumps 5,000 gallons of blood a day? It beats approximately 100, 800 times a day, or about 2 billion, 500 million times in an average lifetime. Hey, everybody's talking about turning your clunkers and the cars and all that stuff. And, hey, how would you like to have an engine that ran that efficient? Oh, but that's the problem. It's not an engine. Well, it sure certainly is more efficient than the engines that man makes. Well, hey, if that the heart runs more efficient than an engine, and it runs like an engine, then how come that happened by chance, but we would never say that the reason why we have engines in our vehicles exploded from accident in the factory.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course, you know, as a physician, I can tell you that the human body is the most amazing thing, you know. How can the heart beat, you know, and that heart beats, you know, 60, 70 times a minute for your whole life. It can never stop. If it does, you die. I mean, we're talking that this can go on for 50, 60, 70, 80, 90 years, and the heart just keeps right on pumping. How can that be? You certainly couldn't create an engine that would do anything like that. And if you did create an engine, would you want to say, well, it just happened by accident, you know? It sort of evolved, and that's, well, I mean, it is so absurd. And yet, when they control the media, they control the publishing, they control television, they control the universities and the schools, they're able to convince people of a lie. And it's been said, it doesn't matter how ridiculous something is, if you say it often enough, people will believe, and people actually believe in evolution today. And I know, because I used to be one of them, and I know Pastor Billy was one of them too. Well, before we go on, Pastor Billy, I want you to tell our listeners how they can get your webpage, how they can get your ministry.
Well, you can check our main website out at NiagaraFrontierBible.com. That's NiagaraFrontierBible.com. NiagaraFrontierBible.com, or you can just search my name on the internet, Billy Crone, B-I-L-L-Y-C-R-O-N as in Nancy, Billy Crone, C-R-O-N-E. You search that on the internet, that'll take you where you need to go.
All right, fine. Well, you just go ahead and pick up the story.
Well, again, let's take a look at a couple more aspects of the human body. And you folks tell me if there's any way this could happen by chance, which, by the way, I got to interject there, chance. What is chance, folks? That's another lie. What is chance? Chance is nothing. Chance has no creative power. They say it was created by chance in millions of years. What is chance? Chance is an adjective, if you will, to describe a mathematical probability. For instance, if I were to flip a quarter in the air, what is the chance that it's going to land on heads? Mathematically, 50-50 is how it works. Okay, right? But did that chance do anything to that quarter? Did it determine anything? Did it make the quarter do anything? No, it's just a adjective, if you will, to describe a mathematical probability. And for people to say that, oh, it was created by chance, is ludicrous. Who's checking whose brain at the door? Chance is nothing. It has no inherent power or creative abilities. It's just a word to describe the mathematical probability. But anyway, take a look at these and tell me, folks, if this happened, quote, by chance. Okay? Our bodies, folks, make up about 2 to 10 million blood cells every second. And if you lined up the red blood cells in one person's body end to end, they would go around the equator 4 times. How about our eyes? Folks, our eye is one of the most complex things on the planet, okay? And they still don't know how it totally works completely. The human eye completes 100,000 separate functions in a single day. It conducts its own maintenance work while we sleep. That's pretty efficient. It's got automatic aim, focus, aperture adjustment. It provides color and 3D images. It can automatically function from darkness to bright light instantly. The question is, folks, how did that evolve? Oh, and here's a whopper. How'd you get two of them at the exact same time? Oh, and that's not just the eyes. How about your ears? Folks, the ear is able to respond to sound at a pressure on the eardrum that is no greater than 2/10,000 of a millionth of a barometric pressure. Okay? And which is smaller, folks, than a hydrogen molecule, which is the tiniest of all known molecules. Oh, and by the way, you didn't end up with just one of those, two of them. Oh, and by the way, how'd your ear not explode the first time that a non-molecular noise came across the room? And you ended up with two of them. Give me a break, folks. There's no way. How about our brains, folks? Our brains are the most, totally complex. It influences everything that we do, obviously how we think, remember, feel, reason, analyze, we hear, our sight, our smell, speech, eating, resting, learning, everything, right? Well, it's just a little thing that, if you will, weighs about 3 pounds, yet it contains 12 billion cells, each one that's connected to 10,000 other brain cells, which makes about 120 trillion connections. Okay? In fact, it's estimated that the human brain stores so much memory data, okay, that by the age of 40, it would take the Empire State Building full of computers just to store the same amount of information. Now, folks, are you prepared to say that a computer can be randomly produced by a lightning bolt and in an electronic parts factory? Is it going to just spontaneously evolve? I don't care how many years you put in there. Is it ever going to happen? How about enough computers to fill the Empire State Building, let alone one? Well, folks, that's what your brain does, just storing the amount of data. And you're going to say that happened by chance? How about our DNA, folks? Our DNA molecule is the most complex molecule in the universe. The code is so complex, folks, if you typed it all out, listen, it would create enough books to fill the Grand Canyon not once, not twice, not 10 times, not 12 times, not 20 times, but 40 times. That's massive, folks. In fact, the average person, folks, has, again, about, as we said, about 50 trillion cells, give or take a few, if you will, and with about 46 chromosomes, okay, in each one of those cells, okay, which is huge if you do the math there, okay, 50 trillion times 46, okay. But, folks, if you were to be able to take out all the chromosomes of your body, it would only fill up 2 tablespoons. That's pretty complex, okay? In fact, folks, it's not only highly complex. What's even more amazing, if you were to stretch out, if you will, your chromosomes, stretch them all out and tie them all together in just one person, it would be enough to reach from the Earth to the Moon and back 5 million times. Oh, by the way, folks, speaking of your organs, did you realize logically that you need all your organs to be there, all fully functioning, or you're dead meat? For instance, folks, think about it. Check your brain at the door. Use it, please. What good, if evolution is true and your body, let alone body parts, evolved, what good is only half a heart? If you only were that far and you only had a half a heart, how long would you survive? Answer, you wouldn't. Let alone, how many kids could you have to continue the species? None would be the answer. How about if you had evolved a third of a liver? How about a fourth of a brain? How about an eighth of a lung? What do you do? Do you hold your breath for 1 million years waiting for the rest of that lung, let alone the other one that happens to come with your body, to evolve? It's ludicrous, folks. Again, keep in mind the watch analogy, folks. Common sense. Use your brain. A watch with about 12 moving parts, you would say it's ludicrous for that thing to evolve by chance across the street, but our bodies with 50 trillion cells, you're going to say that did, with a complex organs that all have to be there fully functioning, or you're dead meat, you're going to say that happened by chance? I don't think so. And that's exactly why Werner Arber, he's a Nobel Prize winner for medicine. He says this, Dr. Monteith, and I quote, "Although a biologist, I must confess, I do not understand how life came about. The possibility of the existence of a creator, of God, represents to me a satisfactory solution to this problem." Well, what did he say? He said exactly what the Apostle Paul said in the book of Romans. When you take a look at the creation of the world, you are going to see God's invisible qualities, his eternal power, and divine nature. You're going to come to the conclusion there is a God so that men are without excuse. And folks, again, that's just the tip of the iceberg of the data that we deal with and the quotes that we deal with scientists. You could check it out for yourself, but you've got to understand, folks, this is not just a war, if you will, of worldviews. This is not just, we're proving that we're right and you're wrong. I'm telling you, folks, it's the world belief system. It's a lie, but it's the world belief system to bring about the Antichrist kingdom. Remember the Genesis chapter 3 passage. The enemy said, Satan said, that you will not surely die. God knows when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good from evil. It's not just evolution comes and causes doubt and causes people to have some sort of an intellectual belief system, which really isn't intellectual when you look at the facts, and it's illogical and unscientific, but you think that there is no God. So you get to be your own God. You get to decide what's good and evil. But it's not just that, folks. That's also where New Age started. You will be like God. You will be your own God. And we know that the Antichrist is going to be the ultimate epitome of that lie when he declares that he is God in the tribulation period, in the middle of it, in the 7-year tribulation period, and then he is going to demand people to worship him. And people, you might think that's absolutely ludicrous, that evolutionary minds is preparing the way. But folks, we've already seen that with a type of Antichrist, if you will, with Adolf Hitler. Okay? A lot of people, folks, don't know a whole lot about Hitler as far as the real reason why he slaughtered millions of people. It wasn't just because of hatred towards the Jewish people. It wasn't just because, although he was deeply involved in the occult, okay, it was also of an evolutionary mindset. His book, folks, Mein Kampf, means my struggle. Okay, the whole thing was about the struggle between the races. The Aryan race is going to dominate the world, okay? You know, my struggle, you know, natural selection, evolution, the strongest, the fittest shall survive. That was his whole premise that he got people to buy into it. We've shared before, Dr. Monteith, this is what is the reason why he killed the Jewish people first. they wouldn't have been the last. They were just the beginning of his evolutionary mindset, his evolutionary scale, to create his Aryan race. People, the reason why he killed the Jewish people first is because they were the last on his list. He believed that the Nordic, the blonde hair, the blue eyes, were close to pure Aryan. Then there was the Germanic, which is brown hair, blue eyed. They're predominantly Aryan. Then there's the Mediterranean. There were slight Aryan preponderance. Then there's the Slavic peoples. He felt they were close to Aryan, but they're really about half ape. Then he felt the Orientals. They were mostly slight ape. Of the black Africans, he considered them predominantly ape. And the last on the hit list, folks, was the Jewish people. He said they're close to pure ape. Okay? And what you need to understand, folks, if he could have accomplished completely the Holocaust with the Jewish people, he wasn't going to stop. Are you kidding me, folks? He would have went right up his list from reverse order. He would have went next to the black Africans. He would have went to the Orientals, the Slavics, the Mediterraneans, all the way until he created his master race. Now, you might think that's an absolutely wild, ludicrous statement, folks, but you have to understand that even secular researchers are admitting that evolution is what produced the Holocaust, at least the justification for it. R. Milner, he wrote in the Encyclopedia of Evolution, quote, during the 1930s, Adolf Hitler believed he was carrying Darwinism forward with his doctrine of undesirable individuals and inferior races must be eliminated in the creation of the new order dominated by Germany's master race. German intellectuals believe natural selection, Mein Kampf, right? That's what the whole thing, my struggle, natural selection was a law of nature impelling them to the bloody struggle for domination. Their political and military textbooks promoted Darwin's theories as the scientific basis of a quest for world conquest with the full backing of German scientists and professors of biology. Robert Clark, he says in Darwin Before and After, he says, quote, one need not read far in Hitler's Mein Kampf to find evolution likewise influenced him on his views on the master race, genocide, human breeding experience, etc. Another gentleman said the position in Germany was that man must conform to nature's processes no matter how ruthless. The fittest must never stand in the way of the law of evolutionary progress. In this extreme form, that social view was used in Nazi Germany to justify sterilization, mass murder of the unfit, incompetent, inferior races. Edward Simon wrote on the other side of the evolution problem, says, quote, I cannot deny that the theory of evolution and the atheism it engendered led to the moral climate that made a Holocaust possible. And Hitler himself, folks, who in the beginning posed as a Christian, said, I regard Christianity as the most fatal, seductive lie that has ever existed. He who would live must fight. He who does not wish to fight in this world where permanent struggle is the law of life has not the right to exist. Well, who gets to decide that? Well, of course, Mein Kampf, the one who has the power, the strongest, the fittest. They will determine who gets to live and die. And folks, once you understand this, it doesn't just make sense. Aha! That's why Hitler did what he did. Aha! That's why the German people, even scientists, even the educational system, can somehow justify egregious acts like the Holocaust. It's because of evolution. It also, folks, hear me, it also helps you understand why we are seeing things come down the pike on you and I today. With the recent thing with the healthcare system, folks, what's going on with that? The healthcare package is, if people, you haven't already found out, you need to research it, hello. It is now causing part of the things that are in that thing, the thousand-some-odd page document that nobody, of course, is reading. They're going to make it abortion mandatory, a mandatory health care service, okay? Which means anybody, folks, faith-based companies, pro-life organizations, churches, private plans, everybody's going to be required to pay for abortions. Excuse me? That is egregious. Not only that, in the same thing, folks, they have a new health care for older folks. They're going to cut your life short. This is exactly what Hitler was doing, folks. Obama's universal health care plan, folks, will require, quote, end-of-life counseling for senior citizens. On page 425, it makes it mandatory, absolutely, that every 5 years, people in Medicare have required counseling sessions where they tell them how to end their life sooner. And it even recommends the method of death, the use of artificially administered nutrition and hydration. This also explains why, how in the world could Obama appoint a guy like John Holdren, okay, as the director of the White House Office of Science and Technology Policy. This guy, folks, has been on record stating that he is for forced abortion, mass sterilization, remember Hitler, a planetary regime with the power of life and death over the American citizen. He believed that women could be forced to abort their pregnancies whether they wanted to or not. Listen, the population at large could be sterilized by infertility drugs. Listen, intentionally put in the nation's drinking water or in the food. That babies could be taken away against people against their own wills, and that people who, quote, contribute to the social deterioration, i.e. undesirables, is exactly what Hitler did, can be required by law to exercise reproductive responsibility, in other words, be compelled to have abortions or be sterilized. And, of course, again, he believes in a transnational planetary regime that should assume control of the global economy and dictate the details of our lives using an armed international police force. Folks, this is exactly what Hitler did. It's being repeated today, and once again, the whole supposed intellectual premise as to why you and I need to bow a knee to this satanic system, folks, is because, why, haven't you heard? Evolution's true. There is no God. Hey, do you really think there's a conspiracy? Do you really think that? Those people are wackos who believe that. I mean, haven't you listened to what TV has to say? Haven't you listened to all the nature programs? Haven't you been through our educational system? You mean to tell me that there's this conspiracy on this grand scale over the minds of people? Yes, folks, there is. The Bible predicted it about 2,000 years ago and is being used as a justification not only for Adolf Hitler in Nazi Germany. It's being repeated again today, folks, right under our noses. And how many people, Dr. Monteith, are absolutely clueless to what's going on? And that's why we're trying to do our part in trying to get the information out to people. We're trying to, if you will, unveil the truth that's being suppressed so that you can make up your own mind, folks. Call us goofballs, call us crazy, whatever. But would you please check out the facts? Don't be like I used to be and just frankly parrot the media, what you're supposed to think. We don't teach people how to think today, folks. They don't do that in schools anymore. It's called indoctrination. It's not education. It's Soviet-style indoctrination. Kids are not told how to learn to think critically. They are told what to think, and there's a world of difference. And they're using the educational system to do that, to prepare, as they've even quoted, folks, our children for the new world order that they are creating, and they're using evolution to get the job done.
Amen to that. In fact, Adolf Hitler, you know, well, basically Rudolf Hess, I have his quotation, he said that Nazism was nothing more than applied science. The same occult force that energized Adolf Hitler is alive and well in Washington, D.C. today. The purpose of the Discovery Channel and the History Channel and the National Geographic Channel is not to inform people. It is not to reveal what's going on. It's aimed at this concealing what's going on. It's well-financed by the people who control the wealth of the world, who are intent upon carrying out this mass genocide. And believe me, ladies and gentlemen, this is not imaginary. Well, Pastor, we've got 3 minutes for you to wrap up the program.
Hey, folks, and again, you need to understand that once you understand what's really going on, when the truth is not suppressed before your eyes, everything begins to make sense. Just like we saw with the Final Countdown series, when you understand God's time plan, you got the picture to the puzzle box, and the puzzle goes together a lot faster. Everything begins to make sense. But when you understand this evolutionary mindset, folks, which is a lie, it begins to explain everything. This is why, folks, we see monuments like the Georgia Guidestones in Georgia, which is basically the Ten Commandments, as we've talked before, Dr. Monteith, of the New World Order. Here's just three of them. They believe we should maintain humanity under 500 million in a perpetual balance with nature. We need to guide reproduction wisely, improving fitness and diversity. We need to not be a cancer on Earth. We need to leave room for nature. This is why we see people making quotes like this, like Margaret Sanger, who said she called for the elimination of human weeds, for the cessation of charity, because it prolonged the lives of the unfit. That she believed for the segregation of morons, misfits, and the maladjusted, and the sterilization of genetically inferior races. She's the founder of Planned Parenthood, folks. This is why people, quote, scientists like Jacques Cousteau could say stuff like this. The damage people cause to the planet is a function of demographics. He said this is a terrible thing to say, but in order to stabilize the world population, we must eliminate 350,000 people a day. Bertrand Russell, this is why we have secular philosophers that make statements like this. He says at the present rate, the world's population increasing. War so far has had no great effect on this increase. I do not pretend that birth control is the only way in which population can be kept from increasing. There's others. If a black death could be spread throughout the world once in every generation, survivors could procreate freely without making the world too full. The state of affairs might be somewhat unpleasant, but what of it? Quote, really high-minded people are indifferent to the suffering, especially that of others. This is why you got people like Ted Turner saying that people who abhor the China one-child policy are dum-dums. That's a direct quote. Because if China didn't have that policy, there'd be 300 million more people in China right now. And then he later advocated that we reduce the world's population from 6 billion to 2 billion. This is why we got New Age writers and philosophers like Dr. Sam Keen that says we must speak far more clearly about sexuality, contraception, abortion, about values that control the population, because we need to cut the population by 90%, okay? And folks, I said it before, I'll say it again. Okay, Mr. Keen, let's start with your family. But no, of course not, folks. It's not his family. It's us. It's our family. Why? Because of an evolutionary mindset. It's only those who are not the strongest, who are not the fittest, who are not the most powerful. Natural selection. Those are the people who would not be allowed to survive. They will decide who gets to survive. Folks, this is why abortion, feminism, birth control, homosexuality, genocide, this is why it continues to go.
I'm going to have to interrupt you. We're out of time. God bless. We'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I certainly hate it to have to cut Pastor Krohn off because he really has so much great information. And you'll want to get this, a 10-DVD set. Now, of course, you get part one or you get part two, each one with 5 DVDs. You get all 10 together at a special rate. And it's called simply Creation, and we hope that you'll get it. I hope you'll go over it several times and that you'll share it with others. We also have Pastor Krohn's 10-DVD series called The Final Countdown, Part 1, Part 2. And believe me, we're moving an awful lot of these. We're getting them out. They're very well, very professionally done. It gives you the scriptures. It gives you certainly the videos, documentation of what this is all about. And Billy, Pastor Billy, does a great job, and we're so glad that he'll come on with us. We have his book on the Final Countdown, which summarizes the whole 10 DVDs. And then, of course, we have the first 5 of his talks on the Final Countdown called Countdown to Armageddon. We will put the others together when we have time, but we're just doing 5 hours a day. We're restricted in the amount that we can actually do. So that's the 5 DVD sets on the creation, 2 5 DVD sets on the Final Countdown, the book, and the CDs. They're available by calling 1-800-544-8927. As far as books on evolution, we've got a great book called Tornado in a Junkyard. Basically, the idea is that if you had a tornado in the junkyard and it blew long enough and hard enough, why, you'd end up with a 747 just by chance. And that's what they want you to believe as far as the evolution of life. And you got to have a lot of faith to believe that. And then, of course, Pastor Krohn talks about the plan for genocide. It really is there. The same spiritual forces that energize the Nazi movement are alive and well in America. You can go to our website, radioliberty.com, and actually read my Population Control Agenda monograph. That's the Population Control Agenda monograph. Or if you get any of the other items we've talked about, we'll be glad to send you one free. It's about 12 pages. It's the best single thing out there. If you want to see the Georgia Guidestones, we have a section on my website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. You can see the Georgia Guidestones. We've been there. We've certainly our pictures are used by a lot of other ministries throughout the world. We think it's important to understand that here is a monument put up by a secret society. And nobody knows what the secret society is. The man who actually put up the monument was called himself R.C. Christian, but that wasn't his name. Some people think he was a Rosicrucian because that's what R.C. Christian was about. And it could very well be. After all, the Rosicrucians are one of a myriad of secret societies like the Theosophists and certainly the Masons and the Illuminati and the Gnostics and the Templars. They've all been there. They are all have worked for the same goal. the one world government, and of course the one world religion, and the advent of the Antichrist. They are all Luciferian organizations. There are literally millions of people today who are preparing for the coming of the Chosen One. Now, if you haven't yet seen my talk on the financial Armageddon, you need to get it, because we simply quote from what they, the people on the other side, say about who Barack Obama really is, and you'll never hear this any other place. Our talk on the financial Armageddon will explain to you that what is happening today financially is all part of a long-range plan. And if you think things are going to get better, why, you're sadly mistaken. Oh, they may slow down for a while, but then, of course, the next wave will come as they collapse our economy, and that's what they intend to do, because they want to destroy this nation. They're in the process of transferring our jobs to other countries. That's what globalism is really all about, but they don't want you to understand that they want